Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, live from Chicago. The George Wilder Jr. Show. Keep it right here. It should be fun.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Welcome to the show, folks. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. It is a beautiful day here on the north side of the city as I sit in my studio looking out on the boulevard here. And it's beautiful. It's foggy. And my understanding is that it's going to get a little bit more foggier. At least it's not raining. And moreover, at least it's not snowing. It's not freezing. And but it's not summer and it's not spring, at least not on this part, in this part of the town. It's not. Okay, we know that further out west and further out south that it's, the weather's a little bit better. But anytime you're living near the lake, then you always get going to get that lake breeze. And I'm not a weather person, believe me. I don't know jack about the weather, but I can tell when it's cold. You know, so But it's pleasant. It's pleasant out there. It's jacket weather on this side of the town. So it's great. It's wonderful. And I want to give a shout out to those people. If we can find that cue card. Let's see. Okay. All right. I want to give a shout out to those people who are in Texas, Kentucky, Kansas, Oklahoma, Tennessee. These are states of emergencies. I mean, these people having storms and hail and all that kind of stuff, thunderstorms, and people are losing their homes. They're losing their livelihood. They're losing everything, mementos. I mean, it is just, well, some people have said, well, it's tornado season. And yesterday they were talking about a tornado up here in Illinois. You know, so just because you live in the city, do not think that you're immune from tornadoes happening in the city. They happen. You know, I mean, we're having some weird weather. Some people say it's El Nino. Some people say it's climate change. Whatever it is, it's strange. You know what I'm saying? And for those folks over in those states where the governors have declared a state of emergency, you know, we want to send out our prayers to those people and, you know, and try to help them if we can by sending money to help them, or even more so than money, our time and our effort. Sometimes that's more than money, you know, giving your time and your efforts to help out when people really need help. And that's one of the things about Americans. When Americans are in need of help, Americans, other Americans are right there to help. And like I said, helping people do not always have to be monetary. You know, sometimes it doesn't take money. It just takes a little of you being there, a little bit of yourself, a little bit of your time. That means sometimes more than just giving someone some money or something. But money helps. It don't get me wrong now. If you want to send money, that's fine. But, you know. In other words, just help any way you can, you know, for these people, because they are Americans. We are Americans. We help Americans help Americans. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Follow me where? Facebook, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google. I'm all over the place. I believe I'm all over the place, you know, but who knows? But anyway, I try to be, and wherever you find me, I hope it's, they're saying something positive, you know, because, you know, you never know. I mean, somebody could hack your account and say something really nasty and bad that's not true. My thinking is wherever I am, I'm not that easy to find. And wherever I am, there's something positive there. You know, once in a while, I'll go to my Google page. I'll Google my own name. And, you know, you should try that. Try it. If you're on the internet, try Googling your own name and see what pops up. You know, you're going to probably get other people with the same name. And that's one of the things on one of my Google searches. When I search my name, I find that there's several other people with the same name, George Wilder. But there's not that many people named George Wilder Jr., you know. But there's a lot of George Wilders out there, the same name as I have. And a lot of those people pop up on my Google page, you know. And sometimes they'll pop up in any kind of a search engine. And a lot of these people, you know, I'm saying, hey, that ain't me. That's not me. I mean, I know, because I don't want people to get confused and think that this criminal who's in jail or just got out of jail with the same name I have, that's not George Wilder Jr. That's George Wilder, somebody somewhere. That's not me. Okay. The best thing you can do is look up Blog Talk Radio and you'll find me, and that's me, or LinkedIn. But I mean, I would think this happens to a lot of people who have names that are so easily that you can easily find somebody else under, you know. So that happens. And a lot of times I go to Google and they'll say, Mr. Wilder, is that you? And I'll say, no, that ain't none of me. That's not me. No. I'm not into child porn. That's not me. Okay. Mr. Wilder, is that you? Oh, yeah, that's me. I got on the baseball cap. That's me. The T-shirt, the Bears T-shirt. Yeah, that's me. Is that you over there? No, that's not me. I was not at the county jail. No, that wasn't me. That's not me. I've never been in jail, at least not in anything like that. Okay, but you can look me up. I've gone to Google other people's name, and sometimes I see the same thing, you know. Somebody sharing the same name as you, but those people are the ones that are sharing the same name as you. They're incarcerated, or they have been incarcerated, and they have police records as long as my arm. And you will make sure you want to distinguish yourself against those kinds of people, because that can actually ruin your internet presence. You know, if you don't get that kind of thing straightened out. And I always tell Google, that's not me. Get that off of there. You know, that's not me. So you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the Talk About Times. And I always say this show is about trying to make, I say try, because it's going to be a work in progress. And that is that this show tries to help lend a hand and making the world a better place. That's what it's about. And it's called the Talk of Our Times. I'm going on 2 years being on the show, and I'm totally gratified at some of the positive things that have been said about the show, and some of the positive things that have been said about myself as a writer. And I never take some of those things, you know, too seriously. Maybe I should. But because anything could go wrong. So I just take those things and just, you know, say thanks. Thanks a lot. That's great. Wonderful. I'm glad you think that way. I'm glad you like the show. Thank you very much. I'm glad you like the book or you like the story. Thank you very much. And then I have to move on. You know, I gotta move on. But, you know, as a writer and an author, and I'm not just talking about myself here, you are elated, very elated when someone says something nice or good about what you're doing, because what you're doing is hard work. So if anybody says something nice about what you're doing, I mean, you really, it kind of makes your day. And every time I hear somebody say, George, you had a wonderful show. George, I read your story. It's great. George, can you come here? George, can you come out to dinner? George, can you come meet with us? We want to talk to you. You're an interesting fellow and all that kind of stuff. Those kinds of things make my day. It really does. And I want to say that I do I can't even talk. I want to say I do appreciate those kinds of things, but there's not always I can't always make these events. So, you know, I try. All right. You're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago, Shy Lights. And it's 6:10 p.m. in Chicago. It's foggy. It's going to be foggy. They said it's not going to be rainy, but, you know, these weather people, they call themselves meteorologists. Sometimes these folks don't know what they're talking about. They know it, I know it, and you know it. But we give them the benefit of the doubt because they're on television. Folks, I don't know about where you are, but where I am, I haven't seen spring, I haven't seen summer, I haven't seen anything but gray, darkness, raining, and I mean, sometimes people call it sleeping weather, but a lot of times you don't want to sleep. You want to get outside and enjoy yourself, but the weather kind of keep you in sometimes, especially in those states, Kentucky, Kansas, Texas, all of these states with these hurricanes and twisters and just upending people's lives. That's got to be something. You know, it's got to be something, and we have to pray. And like I just got through saying, we got to give much of our help and our time as we can to helping others. You know, that's what this show is about, folks. Like I said before, this show is about trying to make or making the world a better place. And if you actually want to do that, try to make this world a better place, then this show is for you. Okay. If you don't want to make the world a better place, then this show is definitely not for you. Okay. I mean, there's 1,000 podcasts around, and I'm pretty sure there's one where you can cater to beside this show, because this show is all about making the world a better place. That's why I try to have the best people on here that I can get, because I want them to share something with you. I want them to be able to tell you what they do and how what they do can help you in your life to better yourself and better your life. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk about times. Anything goes. We're talking about things in the news. We could have a surprise guest here or there today. We just have to wait and see that. And we also have the smart quiz question. And that question is, it's not a tough question. I mean, it's a constitutional question, but, you know, it's easy. We elect a president for how many years? that's so elementary. I'm embarrassed to say it. We elect a president for how many years? That should, I mean, it's a no-brainer, but hey, wow, it's something that I just threw out there. You know, so it's a constitutional question. If you don't know, you can go to your computer, laptop, or iPhone and Google it or something. The answer should come up. But being an American, everybody should know that, you know, everybody. But some people don't. All right. All right, we're going to take a break right here, folks. I should be right back. Stay with me. We'll be right back. All right, Donald Trump. Everybody is asking Donald Trump to release his tax returns. I think a few weeks ago he said he would, but now he's holding back on that, and we will talk about that as soon as this is over.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
That little laugh always gets me. All right, bombshell of unusual size. Donald Trump is ripped over tax returns because he's dodging about bringing releasing his tax returns. You know, they're fearing that Donald Trump has something to hide is to the reason why he's not releasing his tax returns. Donald Trump says, no, there's nothing to hide. IRS says Donald can release his taxes anytime he wants. But somebody's lying, folks. Somebody's totally lying. Because when Mitt Romney was running for president against Barack Obama, Donald Trump was asking Mitt Romney to release his taxes. And Mitt Romney, he did release his taxes. And now Mitt Romney is asking Donald Trump to release his taxes. And Donald Trump says, not me. You can forget it. It doesn't matter, folks, if Donald Trump releases his taxes or he does not release his taxes. Donald Trump will be running for president of the United States in the general election come November 2016. It doesn't matter. I couldn't care if he releases them or not. It's not going to do me any good. It's not going to be anything for my bottom line. But the Republicans are still trying to destroy him. I mean, they are still trying to keep him from becoming president of the United States. And in my estimation, that's wrong. I am not a Donald Trump supporter. I'm not going to vote for him. But that's wrong. It's still wrong for his own party to try to, you know, cripple him from becoming president of the United States. They're not together. They're not anything. And my understanding is Donald Trump is trying to pick a president, a vice president. He's picking a vice president. The reason why I say this is wrong is because the voters put Donald Trump over the top. Donald Trump did not put Donald Trump over the top. The voters did. They voted for him. They given him his lead. He's won just about every state. They voted for him. This is democracy. This is what I'm saying about politicians. They ignore the will of the people. And the will of the people put Donald Trump over the top. No matter if we like him, we hate him, we can't stand him, you have to go with the will of the people. And that's what happened. And it's a real possibility if if Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are running mates, are running against each other, running against each other in the general election, Donald Trump could wind up being president of the United States because Hillary has so much baggage. She has a lot of baggage. I've heard people say that they're not going to support Hillary if Bernie drops out. Some people saying he doesn't have a chance, but he's not going to leave the race. And I totally admire Bernie Sanders. He's my choice. But somehow I have a feeling that, you know, even though he's winning these states, it's probably a little too late because Hillary has, you know, all these delegates and they're all locked up. And however, if Bernie gets out of the race, a lot of the Bernie supporters say they are not going to vote for Hillary. They rather vote for Trump or they're not going to vote for anybody. And I want to say to people, vote. It doesn't matter. Vote. You have to vote. You know, I'm not that keen on Hillary either. I mean, I really am not because I don't like the fact that she's going to be. And she just about stated it. She's going to be another Barack Obama third term. And we know what Barack Obama is like on trade. You know, we know what he's like on a lot of other issues that's not pertaining to African Americans. Right now, if you think about it, Obama is trying to work on his legacy. That's what he's working on. Because I'm pretty sure he doesn't like all the attention that Donald Trump is getting. Because if you think about it, Donald Trump is taking away a lot of the exposure and taking away camera FaceTime away from Barack Obama. It's Donald Trump everywhere, all over the place. And Barack Obama is basically trying to cement his legacy. He wants you to think of him once he's out of office. He wants you to, Barack Obama did that. Barack Obama did this. He's trying to cement his legacy in the history books. So even though we're going to have a different president in 2017, he wants you to always think of him and what he's done or what he tried to do or what he just did not do. So if I can get back to Donald Trump, yeah, like I said before, I don't think his supporters give 2 cents about his taxes. This guy is going to be the nominee, no matter what the Republicans say. And I want to say it again, I think it's disingenuous for them to try to harm him in a political way when the people put him over the top. The people voted for him. That's democracy. That's the way things are supposed to work. You may not like it, but that's the way things work in the United States of America. And these Republicans who do not like Donald Trump don't think he's fit to be president. They're just going to have to hold their nose and support him. If not, this guy may go off on a third party. And if he goes on a third party, that's the end of the Republican Party. I feel anyway. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we are on a roll here, folks. So, you know, this race is interesting. People, hey, wow, there's going to be some really good stuff here, folks. Let's get the popcorn. Let's get the popcorn because you thought the debates were crazy. This is really going to be nuts. And like I said before, I am totally a Bernie Sanders fan because I envy Bernie Sanders. How old is he? I think a lot of people aren't voting for Bernie Sanders because they think he's old. He's too old. He's going to die in office or something like that. But Bernie Sanders is a mentor to a lot of us. I mean, Bernie Sanders is someone I look up to. Seriously, I do look up to Bernie Sanders. I mean, he's 75 years old. And what is this telling us? What is this telling seniors? What is this telling our elderly population? What this is saying is, and I've said this several times on previous shows, that it's telling you can still reach for the moons. reach for the moon in your 70s, 80s, and 90s. You can still reach for the moon. You know, you don't have to give up. You don't have to let old age keep you back. Yeah, as we get older, the pains, the aches are going to come, of course. But if we take care of ourselves, we do a good thing, stay healthy, our mind is fresh and clear. Wow. We can reach for the moon. And this is what I love about Bernie Sanders. He's giving seniors hope that you don't have to be sitting in a wheelchair in a nursing home. You can be out there making the world a better place. Stay in your own home. Do your own thing. You know what I'm saying? This is what Bernie Sanders represents to me. And every time I see this guy jumping on plane after plane, going from city and state after city and state, and then rally after rally after rally for almost an entire year, this man has great stamina. And he's saying right now, today, that he's not going to quit. He's going to stay into the race until the end. This is stamina. And that's why I say this guy is my mentor. He's the person I look up to, because when I see Bernie Sanders, I say, hey, wow, I can do that. I can be anybody I want to be at any age that I want to be. He's inspirational, if nothing else. You know, but a lot of people are saying his age is holding his back. I don't know if it's his age or not, but I do know that he's winning states. He's winning states. If he wasn't winning, I'm pretty sure he would have been out by now. But there's no doubt about it. Bernie Sanders is a Bernie Sanders is in Hillary's craw. Bernie Sanders is a, you know, actually, Hillary Clinton is trying to pay so much attention to the general race, to the general election. She's trying to pay so much attention to Donald Trump, but there's always Bernie Sanders behind her. She said, I just cannot shake this guy. I can't shake him. She has to go back and put on television ads, you know, in certain states, because Bernie is coming up behind her. He's a stick in the mud. She just can't get rid of him. she wants to, but she can't. I'm going to tell you, folks, I really don't want to see Hillary Clinton in the White House. I don't trust her, and I have my own reasons for that. But, you know, if she winds up getting the nomination, and it seems like it's inevitable, I will hold my nose and vote for her. The thing is, I will vote. And I'm going to suggest that everybody out there vote, no matter who you vote for, but do it. Do it. I mean, because if you don't vote, if you do not vote, your vote is still going to be counted, but it's going to be counted for the wrong person. It's going to be counted on the other side. If you don't vote, your vote will still be used. Your no vote will still be used. And that no vote, or that vote you don't cast, is going to be used for the wrong person to get into office. So if you don't want your vote used the wrong way, then use it the right way, if I can say it that way. And that's the most important thing, because we're here to try to make the world a better place. Okay, it's 6:30 straight up Chicago time. Is that right? 6:30? Yeah. Six, in some places it says it's 6:29. But we're going to round that off to, 6:30 p.m. in Chicago. It's still foggy, folks. It is still foggy. And we should have a mystery guest here. If not, that's okay. I can always handle my own show. All right, we're going to take a break here to see if we can find a musical C. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with me. Justin Bieber said he is not going to take photographs with fans again. Yeah, and that's something. Justin Bieber, I don't want to call him a rock star or a singer because I don't think the guy has any talent, but that's just me. If it's not you, 347-857-1762. He says that he's not going to take photographs or pictures with the fans anymore. I mean, who really gives a damn? This guy has no talent. I mean, he's just like Miley Cyrus. You know, she has no talent. She's an embarrassment. You know, I had Linda Williams on the show the other day, and we were talking about some old school music. We were talking about, she's going to be on the show again, folks. I believe, let's see, Linda Williams is going to be on the show again. Let me see. I'm looking at the schedule here. Linda. She's not here? Oh, hold on. Oh, yeah, she's going to be on May 26th. May 26th, and we were talking about old school music. And I was saying one thing to her about that, and I was saying, like, hey, wow, you know, I mean, I can't listen to today's music. I don't think it has the same soul, if I can take a word from one of those, what was that movie with Tom Cruise? What was that movie? All right, it'll come to me. It'll come to me. Anyway, it had the silver. The music was like, the music was great. It was great. And I'm going to think of it later. Okay, if you can think of it, let me know. All right, we're going to move right along. Okay, smart quiz question. We elect a president for how many years? We should have that probably by the end of the show. And let's see what else we got. We still got to talk about Illinois not having a budget. I know I talk about this every day. I know some of the people who are saying, damn, George, can you talk about something else? It's hard to talk about something else when you live in a city and you have a governor who just does not give a damn about the state. And my thing, and I think some of his actions are racist. I truly do. I mean, of course, he's going to deny them. Of course, his minions and flunkies and yes men, they're going to deny it. Of course they are. However, his actions prove otherwise. You know, we still do not have a budget. We could have a budget any day now if these guys got together, compromised. There's no talking with these guys. I mean, I'm talking about the governor and the legislature. There's no talking. There's no compromising. There's no shaking hands. There's no nothing going on trying to prepare a budget for the state of Illinois. There's nothing. It seems like these guys are just letting this state rot. You know, it does. It's just letting the public schools in Chicago rot. I mean, every day we don't have a budget, the state goes further and further into debt. And every kind of program you can think of is affected. Center for the Disease Care, every kind of autism, the elderly, the you name it. Children, daycare. A lot of these programs have ended. A lot of unemployment is now in the state. I think Illinois has the highest unemployment rate in the country. Even though the federal unemployment rate is 5%, but Illinois, this single state, is higher. And a lot of this unemployment has been caused by our governor, Bruce Rauner, of course. Oh, he'll spin it any way he can to try to blame someone else for this. And Bruce Rauner's, I mean, this guy's always blaming someone else. He's always blaming someone else for something that he is the culprit of. He's saying the reason why we don't have a budget is because of Michael Madigan and John Cullerton. The reason why we don't have a budget is because of Bruce Rauner. If his ass would have never been voted into office, we would have a budget. Actually, he wasn't voted in. He paid for it. He bought the office. He's trying to buy off politicians. He's trying to make the Democratic legislature a Republican one. This is what he wants. This is what his goals are. Bruce Rauner knew before he even became governor that he was going to get people to dislike him. He was going to dismantle a lot of these programs. He was going to cut off funding. He was going to shut down the universities, the schools, the public schools. Chicago public schools, he wants them to go bankrupt. He wants to take control of them, but he can't get his hands on them, and that's a good thing. Because if he can't run a state, how in the hell is he going to run public schools? If he doesn't have a budget for the state, how in the hell is he going to do well for these public schools, which he doesn't like? He doesn't like public schools. He can't stand them. You know why? Because public schools are represented by union, by labor, and he cannot stand labor. He wants to chop labor off at the knees. He can't do it, and he's pissed off. So he's going to destroy the state. He's going to hold this state and its employees, everybody who is working, the middle class, he's going to hold all these people hostage. You say, I want these unions. If I don't get these unions, you will not have a budget. This is what he's saying. This is the gist of it. He is not a people person. Bruce Rauner is nowhere near a people person. Why in the hell did this man run for office when he's not a people person? You can't have people dislike you. You can't have people despise you and try to run a state. You can't do it. When people dislike you, when people despise you, especially if you're a politician, the next thing for you is going to be voted out of office. They can't stand you, Bruce Rauner. They really can't. But you know what? He knew this before he even took office, that he was going to piss off a lot of people. Because he even said it, that a lot of people aren't going to like me. That's what he said. He said, a lot of people aren't going to like me. You know, he was dead right about that. But some people are taking it even further. They despise him in the state of Illinois. And he's talking about making this state a Republican state in 8 years. It ain't going to happen, Bruce. It ain't going to happen. I mean, you got a few flunkies around you. Of course, they're going to do anything you want because you're a billionaire and you're paying them. But this guy does not come in the state of Illinois and destroy it. Who is he? You know, he like the president of the United States, he can only do 2 terms in the governor's office. Okay. His first term, his first year and a half has been dismal. Has been totally, totally dismal. He gets a big fat F. And that's not me just saying that. That's 2 major newspapers in the city of Chicago who have written columns in their editorial department, on their editorial page, saying that he gets a big fat F, and a lot of the people in Illinois concur with that. I surely do, because this man has done nothing. He's done nothing positive. He's done everything to hurt this state. This state is hurting. Businesses are packing up and leaving. People are exiting, and I don't blame them. And then they're talking about raising more taxes. I mean, if people are leaving, businesses are leaving, who are you going to tax? You can't tax poor people because they don't have jobs. So you can't get anything from them. And if they do have jobs, part-time jobs or low-paying jobs, you're not going to reach your goal. Because they can barely pay anything. And the people who can't afford to move, they're leaving. And the people who can't afford, they're staying. And some people who are staying, they're staying here to fight for their states. They're staying here to fight because their jobs are here. But But the jobs soon will not be here because we have these awful trade bills that your President Barack Obama supports. Trade? What is trade? That means when your job gets up and leave and goes to another country and leaving you back here unemployed. Yeah, it's coming. It's two things that's going to devastate the middle class. And our trade, these awful trade bills, where they send your job overseas, where people work at doing what you were doing for 50 cents an hour, you were getting 20. Overseas, they're going to be doing the same thing, your job, but 50 cents an hour. That's why they move. Sweatshops, cheap labor, gets richer, right? The second thing is going to take jobs away are robots. Robots is coming to a job near you. There are, from my understanding, they're already using them in banks. Yeah, you walk into the department store, you're not gonna. There's not gonna be a young man or a young lady there bagging your groceries. They're gonna be bagged up by a robot putting your groceries in a bag. Of course, you have to bring your own bag because, you know, they don't give you bags no more at the supermarket. You got to bring your own bag. That's a damn shame. You got to bring your own bag or you got to buy one. That's a damn shame. I mean, but but it's happening. Robots are going to be taking over whatever jobs there. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. Office jobs, computers, typing, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Dumping the garbage that's sitting by your desk, robots. Sweeping the floor, mopping the floor, there goes janitorial jobs, you know. So this is real. This is happening. So especially for the young people who are coming up and even for some of the people who are working already, these are two things that's going to be devastating jobs. These negotiated bad trade deals, TPP, and a robot that's coming to your job real soon. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And we will be right back. We're going to have, we're going to talk about elder abuse when we get back. All righty. Let's see if we can click up something here. All right, stay with me.
Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Center for Healthy Aging, and it is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Laura Mosqueda. She is the chief of geriatrics at UC Irvine School of Medicine, and she's a professor of family medicine and holds the Ronald W. Reagan Endowed Chair in Geriatrics. She sees patients at the UC Irvine Senior Health Center and participates in research and education as well. And her topic today is on elder abuse.
Thanks, Carol. It's a pleasure to be here to talk to you about this important topic of elder abuse. It's going to be a challenging topic, though. This is something that we don't talk about very often, and I think we really need to start challenging everybody in our society to think about this issue of elder abuse and understand it a little bit more. It's challenging in a number of different ways. I want people to imagine what it's like in terms of what elder abuse really is, to really ponder what it means to people, to take it beyond just the fact that, oh, that's a real shame that this occurs in our society, but to understand it as the trauma it really is to the people who are directly affected by it and everybody who loves them. I want you to acknowledge that this really exists, and I'm going to prove it to you as we talk today. And I want you to believe two things. I want you to believe that anyone can be a victim and anyone can be a perpetrator. And this, I think, is particularly challenging for us to really understand and take in. Well, what do we mean when we talk about elder abuse? There are a variety of categories of elder abuse as defined in state law in California, and I have them listed here on the screen: physical, sexual, financial abuse, neglect by other people towards somebody, neglecting yourself, issues of abandonment and abduction where people are actually taken across state lines, and psychological abuse. All of these types of abuse that I've just mentioned are reportable abuse. In other words, we are required, many of us, to report these to the state if we have a suspicion, although psychological abuse or emotional abuse is an optional report. We're going to focus in on the topic of physical abuse, neglect, and some issues related to sexual abuse as well. I'm going to go through a few examples, and unfortunately I have to tell you that these examples are based on real cases that I have been involved in. Here's an example of financial abuse. A 55-year-old woman who threatens her mother, if you don't sign on the dotted line to pay for my car, you're going to go into a nursing home. Another example, a 30-year-old man who befriends a widow. She's lonely, she's depressed, she lost her husband less than a year ago. And what people who are sort of predators will often do is find a hole, a gap, an emotional need somebody has, and fill that. And what does he do? He obtains the password for her ATM card and offers to help her buy groceries. And then he also helps himself to cash so that he has some for his own spending to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars over a period of a year. Examples of physical abuse: pulling somebody's hair, in fact, dragging somebody by their hair across a carpet, throwing food or objects at somebody, denying access to pain medication, slapping, hitting, punching. A recent case I'm involved in involves a 16-year-old girl who was punching her grandmother in the face. These are the sad realities of what's going on. One of the more hidden types of abuse that I'd like to bring to your attention has to do with neglect. And before I give you some examples of neglect, I think it deserves a little bit of an explanation. When we talk about neglect, we're talking about a relationship, somebody who has assumed responsibility or care and custody for another individual who's unable to care for themselves. And when this person who has assumed this responsibility does not provide appropriate care, such as basics, food, clothing, and shelter, medical care, making sure the person's hygiene is reasonably taken care of, looking after things like health and safety hazards, when these things are not attended to in a reasonable way, we call this neglect. Here are some of the examples that I've seen. People who are lying in urine and feces, and I don't just mean a dirty diaper for a few minutes here or there. I mean people who are lying in their own urine and feces for hours, days, weeks at a time. People who have very elongated, filthy nails, matted hair, living in filthy conditions. People who are not fed or given fluids and they become malnourished and dehydrated. It's not good enough for somebody who's unable to get around to just leave some food at the bedside if they can't reach for it and feed themselves. People who develop deep open wounds that we call pressure sores, sometimes all the way down to their bones, because no one has repositioned them and they're unable to move on their own. These are some examples of neglect that we see. Well, how common is this problem of elder abuse? It's a great question, but it's a very hard one to answer. As you can imagine, it's hard to just knock on somebody's door and say, is anybody abusing grandma? So the question then becomes, how do we figure out how common a problem it is? We also need to understand that there are some difficulties in establishing abuse related to people's reluctance to even admit it's occurring. Not only can we not knock on the door to ask if anybody's abusing grandma, but grandma might not want to tell us if there's abuse going on. She might be ashamed that her own grandson is doing this to her. Many older adults fear losing their independence and, in fact, would rather remain at home in an abusive situation than go to a facility such as a nursing home. Again, a very sad reality. And unlike children, older adults can just sort of fade quietly away in our society and nobody thinks about it. Nobody questions it. With kids, if they don't show up at school, we wonder what has happened to them. But we're very accepting of older adults sort of disappearing, oh, they got sick and you never see them again. So it's hard to know really what's going on sometimes. People who are being abused might be so incapacitated physically, cognitively, emotionally, that they're unable to even report that they're being abused. So people might be too incapacitated to report, but the other thing that sometimes occurs is that signs of abuse may be missed or mistaken for usual aging. After all, it's pretty common to have bruises as we get older. It's not uncommon to have a hip fracture, and so it can be really difficult to tell whether or not some of these injuries were a result of abuse or just something that happened by mistake. So I'm going to give you our best guess or guesstimate in terms of how common abuse is, but we also want to recognize that it probably is an underestimate. The best study we have so far is called the National Elder Abuse Incidence Study, published 10 years ago now, 1998, where there was some attempt to quantify the problem. And this is what they found, is that in a one-year period, there were 236,000 reports of seniors abused at home and 50,000 reports of abuse in nursing homes. I want you to really pay attention to this because one of the common myths is that abuse occurs in nursing homes and it's really not an issue in society, when the reality is that the vast majority of abuse occurs in private homes and the most common perpetrator is a family member. What did they learn? Well, not only do you have 236,000 reports of abuse in the community, 50,000 in nursing homes, but for every report of abuse, at least five, some people think maybe triple that, go unreported. So when you look at the numbers, you're talking about at least 1 million older adults in 1998 victims of abuse. This is a big problem. So what happens now when we start projecting out in terms of numbers of older adults who live in the United States? And let's take a look at a graph for just a moment to examine this issue. You can see that the number of people over the age of 65, of course, is rising at a very, very rapid rate. One of the wonderful things now is that our life expectancies have gone up in a very dramatic fashion in just the past 100 years. But pay attention in particular to this red line, people who are 85 and over. They are the most rapidly growing segment of our society in the United States. Their numbers of people over the age of 85 are growing at an exponential rate. Look at the way the number takes off after the year 2030. And that's not very far off. Why do we have a special category for elders? I mean, in California, the law is that after the age of 65 is when we call something elder abuse. Does that mean it's okay to abuse somebody when they're 64 and then on their birthday at 65 it becomes criminal? Well, the reason we really talk about this special category for elders is that as we grow older, we do become more vulnerable to mistreatment. And so it just becomes a practical matter to have kind of an age cutoff for it, which I think is a reasonable way to go. What are some of these vulnerabilities? Well, as we grow older, it might be harder to defend ourselves from being abused. It might be harder to defend yourself from somebody coming at you with a blow. So it might be harder physically to defend yourself. And certainly emotionally, it might be harder to defend yourself against some of the verbal attacks that can be landed at you. You also may be more dependent on others than you have in the past. We're all used to and enjoy being fairly independent creatures. And now if we begin to have some difficulty and we need help with very personal things like dressing, like grooming, like hygiene, all of a sudden there are more people involved in your life, more hands touching you, and again, vulnerabilities increase. There's also this fear that we talked about a few minutes ago, fear of losing your independence if a report is made. So now somebody might really be able to threaten you, sign over the house or I won't let you live in your own home anymore to help you stay in your own home. You'll have to go into a nursing home. Older adults are very susceptible to these sorts of threats, and that's quite easy to imagine. I want to spend just a moment talking to you about dementia as a special issue. I certainly have observed time and time again that people with dementia are particularly vulnerable to elder abuse. Alzheimer's disease, of course, is the most common type of dementia, and we need to recall that dementia is not just memory loss, but loss of other cognitive functions, so that people with a dementia certainly have short-term memory loss, but also have problems with things like judgment, reasoning, insight, language, difficulty comprehending things. And so you can imagine as people go through different stages of dementia, their risk of abuse also can be quite high. So in the early stages when you're having memory trouble and difficulty comprehending things, people might have you sign on the dotted line and you might lose thousands of dollars, you might lose your house, other sorts of financial abuse that occurs. As people then move through the different stages of dementia and in the very end stage be very dependent, they may end up suffering from some very severe neglect. Dementia gets much more common as we grow older. So if you look at everybody over the age of 65, about 3 to 5% of people have a dementing illness. But past the age of 85, you're probably dealing with close to half of our population with dementia. And remember back to that slide we looked at a moment ago in terms of the growth of people over the age of 65, the growth of the number of people over the age of 85 in our society. People who have dementia may be unable to report abuse. You may no longer be able to use a telephone or know how to make a report. One thing that really scares me is we tend to really discount people who have dementing illnesses like Alzheimer's disease. So if a report is made, they're not believed. After all, they have a dementia. We really can't believe anything they say, and they get discounted. And people, particularly in the middle and later stages, may be unable to even recognize that they're being abused because they have such severe cognitive difficulties, they don't even comprehend the bad situation that they're in. Well, why is this happening? Why does elder abuse occur? And we don't really know the answer to this question, but I want to throw out a few possibilities for us to think about, and perhaps you can argue about them with some folks later on. Is it a mental illness problem, or is it a caregiver who has, say, a bipolar disorder or has schizophrenia or has some other sort of mental health problem that makes them unable to properly care for a loved one? Is it that we just live in a violent society, that now pushing and shoving and hitting people has become more commonplace, and this is now translating into older adults as well? Is it a sense of entitlement? I'm going to get that money anyway. I may as well get it sooner than later. Is it stress? Boy, I'm trying to take care of the kids. My husband wants dinner as soon as he gets home, and now I'm taking care of his mother, my mother-in-law, and I just can't handle all this, and she keeps asking me the same question over and over again, and finally I just can't take it, so I just feel stressed. Or is that an excuse? Is it, as many people in the domestic violence community talk to us, really an issue of power and control? And we certainly see domestic violence in late life. Is it an issue of ageism? Do we just not care about what happens to older adults in our society? Do we just feel that, well, they're old anyway, so it doesn't matter as much? This scares me, but I've heard people speak like this. It's not as important if an older adult gets abused than if a child gets abused because they're not going to live that much longer anyway. I think this is a horrible notion, and as a society, we need to confront that many of us carry these beliefs deep within us. So, some questions to ponder. What is our responsibility as family members? What is our responsibility as neighbors and friends? Are we ageist? Or do we have some concern about violating privacy, and we're always trying to balance these sorts of issues out? We don't want Big Brother watching after us. On the other hand, if we have a concern about a neighbor or a friend who we haven't seen, What is our responsibility to check in and make sure that they're okay, that they're not being isolated and kept in a back room, and that nobody's allowing phone calls to come in? I don't have answers. Right now I have questions that I'd like people to think about. What is our responsibility as a society? Are there laws that need to be enacted, or are there laws that are barriers right now to doing a good job in terms of care for older adults who are vulnerable? What role could the government play? What role should the government play? There's precious little funding right now that goes into research related to elder abuse, particularly when you compare the numbers of dollars that go into child abuse research, domestic violence research. Why is that? And who is the voice of these vulnerable elders to speak up to say we need to do something more? What policies do we have in place right now that either allow or prevent elder abuse from occurring? So, for example, we have mandated reporting laws, and we now ask that the clergy make reports if they have a reasonable suspicion of elder abuse. Many of us fear making these sorts of reports. We fear that some sort of SWAT team is going to roll in and grab Granny out of the house, when in fact that's very far from the truth. What we have are agencies through the government called Adult Protective Services, who I think are some of the unsung heroes in our society, who will go to these homes, sometimes in dangerous situations, to check on an elder to see if they're okay. One thing I've learned is it's not my responsibility to confirm whether or not abuse has occurred. My responsibility as a healthcare provider and my responsibility as a citizen is simply to have a reasonable suspicion. If I have enough of a concern that abuse is occurring, I have a responsibility to report to Adult Protective Services to ask them to check on this person who we have some worries about. They'll then go to the home and hopefully try to make a face-to-face visit and establish whether or not there really is a problem going on. Why is this important? Why should you and the public really care about this issue? Remember this slide? Remember about the number of older adults who are growing in our society? Even if the percentage remains the same in terms of how common elder abuse is, the mere fact that we have growing numbers of people in our society means that this is going to be a growing problem, particularly because we don't yet understand enough about mechanisms to prevent abuse, which of course is our goal. So as the number of older adults in our society grows, and the number in particular of people over the age of 85, the most vulnerable members of our society, grows at an exponential rate, we have to care, and we have to really take more of an activist role in preventing and identifying and doing something when we think elder abuse has occurred. Someday this could be you. Any one of us can be a victim. Any one of us can be a perpetrator. We need to understand and believe these as truisms. I hope I've gotten you a little bit angry. I hope I've stimulated your interest so that you'll want to learn more about the issue of elder abuse. I hope that you'll want to get involved in either a small or a big way. A small way that you can get involved would be to just go and tell five people about what you've learned. Just tell five people that this is a problem, and you'll help us a great deal. You can also join an organization that we're starting called Elder Peace, which is really a grassroots advocacy organization. Because if you're 85 years old and you have Alzheimer's disease and you're being abused, you have no way to really go vote. You have no way to advocate for yourself. And we really need to help folks on their behalf so that this problem doesn't continue. I thank you for your attention.
welcome back to the show. That clip was a little bit longer than I thought it was, but hey, wow, news like this is never ending, because we can never learn what we should be knowing about elder abuse in America and around the world. Okay, this is just in, folks. I just got this in. Death threats were made against our governor, Bruce Rauner. Now, you've heard me several times on this show just rail against this guy. I am not a fan of this guy. I think he's wrong for Illinois. In some cases, I don't like him. But I do not wish death on him. I want him to be alive so when they kick him out of office, we can all see it. But death threats, no. I mean, a few months ago, or was it a few weeks ago, our union boss for the Chicago Public Schools, called him a terrorist recruit and that Homeland Security should be checking this guy out. I disavowed that. I'm totally a big critic, an awful critic. I will get in his ass about what he's doing to the state of Illinois. But do I think he's an ISIS recruit? No, I don't think he has enough brains for that. Like she said, no, he's not an ISIS recruit. Do I think he should die? No, I don't think he should die. I don't think there should be death threats against him. But hey, while he's a public figure, they're going to come. And my understanding is that the guy who initiated these death threats, he's in jail, or he's out on bail or something, but he's going to, they say something like 5 years as a felony, you know, threatening a public official. The thing is, he called the governor's office and left a voicemail. You don't do that. You can criticize these people all you want to because they're public figures. You know, I mean, you can say all the things you want, but you do not issue death threats. You know, you can talk about voting their asses out, throwing them out on the curb, but you cannot, while they're in office, you cannot really, really do those kinds of things. And that's wrong. That's wrong. There's other ways of getting Bruce Rauner out of office because he's doing it to himself. He's doing this to himself. I mean, his poll numbers are in the toilet. So how in the hell is he going to be reelected? If the governor's election was today, folks, this man would be out on his ass. Totally. If it was held today, if the mayor's election in Chicago was held today, Rahm Emanuel would be looking for another job. These two people would be out on their butts. So we don't need to issue death threats. We don't need to say they're ISIS recruits. Only thing we need to do is vote their asses out because they're not doing the job that they were elected to do. They're making life harder for the people in the state of Illinois instead of making it a lot easier. We elect these clowns to make life simpler for us, to represent us. We don't elect these people to raise taxes against us when we're barely making any kind of money. We don't do that. We don't elect these assholes to make life more bearable than what it already is. We elect them because we want them to represent us, to make our lives a little easier, especially if we're middle class. But a lot of these clowns do not do that. They get in office, you don't know them no more. They change. The first thing, I mean, you vote these clowns in office, the first thing they're thinking about, and this is true, folks, the first thing they're thinking about is re-election and getting their hands on some hard cash. That's it. If you find somebody who's really dedicated to doing their job and to helping the people out and to adhering to their constituency, that's very, very rare. But I'm pretty sure you can find some people who are dedicated to helping folks. I just got through looking at Jackie Brown, not Dorothy Brown. the Cook County Circuit Court. I'm president, and she runs it. And she just got through saying something to the effect that she's for the people. Give me a break. She's for her damn self. They're investigating her. She could be kicked out of office. Her and her husband was in some kind of scheme together. You know, but when her ass is in the stir, the first thing comes out of her mouth, I'm for the people. You for yourself. You're the one that's making that six-figure salary, not the people. You know, so a lot of these politicians are full of crap. And you can just about look at them to tell that they're lying. Camera was on her. She was on television. What else the hell is she going to say? What else is she going to say? She's not about the people. She's for her damn self. Give me a break. You know? All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. All righty. Like I said, just got through saying, I don't wish death on this man. I really don't. Governor Bruce Rauner, I want him to stick around so I can continue to criticize him about him not being a good or great governor in the state of Illinois. I want him to be around because I love getting in his butt. Even though he know about people like me who are talking about him like this, he doesn't care. It's not going to change his mind. He's not going to make Illinois a wonderful place because we're talking about him in a negative way. He ain't going to do that. He's going to stick to his guns. The more we talk, the more he's going to destroy this state and blame other people and try to convince us that it's somebody else instead of him that's doing the state wrong. That's not going to happen. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see if we can get this smart quiz up. We got the clip. Here we go. It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All right, the smart quiz. My tongue is twisted, folks. All right, the smart quiz question of the day. We elect a president for how many years? Oh, that's so simple and totally elementary that I'm embarrassed to say it. You know that. You know that we elect a president for 4 years, don't you? Yeah, but you know, and you can take it further. How many terms does the U.S. president is allowed to do? Of course, 2 terms, 8 years. All righty, I knew you're smart. I know my audience is smart. If you're not smart, this show is going to make you smart. Okay. All right. I wanted to say something about Flossie Lewis, who was on the show. Now, well, she wasn't on the show. I had a clip of her. I had a clip of her on the show. And I wished I could actually get her on the show. You know, I mean, if I look around, if I try, if I press, maybe I can't get her on the show. She's 91 years old, and she's another mentor of mine. I love people who are at these ages and elderly. I love them when they're spunky. I love them when they're talkative. I love them when they're saying things like, you can do it, you can do it. I'm 91. I'm doing this at 91. You can do it also, because there's so many people out here who not just not even 31, and their lives are not going anywhere. And I'm pretty sure if a lot of people listen to her, they will get inspired by her. You know, and I hope that audio clip wasn't too blurry, and so people can try to really understand what she was saying. Anyway, basically, she was saying, just like I just got through saying, she's saying that you can be anything at any age. And that's why I admire, as I've said, I admire Bernie Sanders. 75 years old, the guy jumps on a plane, gets off a plane, jumps on a plane, gets off a plane, goes to a state after state, city after city, rally after rally, and still wants to do more. So whether he is a nominee or not, and it looks like he may not be one in terms of what everybody is saying, if you listen to that stuff, you know, he still is going to be a great player in this. Let's say if he doesn't get it and he winds up telling his supporters to vote for Hillary, Bernie Sanders is going to be a big name in this. He's going to be a big player in all of this. Bernie Sanders is trying to get Hillary to go further to the left. I believe Hillary is like Barack Obama, a moderate. She's a moderate. That means she can lean left or right. She can go Democrat or Republican. Bernie is straight to the left. Bernie is hard left. He's not going to entertain any Republican issue unless it's pertaining to the middle class in a positive way. Hillary Clinton is Wall Street, and that's the reason why some people don't like her, you know. But you can either vote for her or Donald Trump, you know. I mean, I've had people call this show, and I have guests on this show, and they flat out said that it was Donald Trump. I have no problem with that. I mean, it's democracy at hand. If you're Donald Trump, vote for Donald Trump. If you're Hillary, vote for Hillary. If you're Bernie Sanders, vote for Bernie Sanders. It's a democracy, folks. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me. As I've just got to mention, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. And it's fun, folks. It is totally fun. Stay with me. As I was saying about the budget mess in the state of Illinois, another casualty of this state budget impasse has taken away breast cancer screening because there is no budget. And this is just one of many of the vital and the most important things that a woman can have done is breast cancer screening, but now that's being curtailed because these assholes, including Bruce Rauner and the Democrats in the state legislature, can't get their acts together and put together a budget for the state of Illinois. Just like I got through saying, folks, these guys are just sitting back letting the state go under. This is not there's so many important and vital programs that are being upended because these guys can't get together and solve problems for the state. They're making problems for the state. They're not solving them. They're making them. Then they're blaming each other. While the people of Illinois, even the state workers, are in the middle of this garbage. This is awful. This is awful. Putting stress, more stress on those people with breast cancer or wanting to get breast cancer screening because of the state budget. Remember, the state budget is also taking colleges and universities. Some students aren't going to get their degree because of this. There's no funding for some of these colleges and state universities. That's been halted. Remember, when there's no budget in a state, that means no spending can be allowed. It's in the Illinois Constitution, no spending. And if there is spending in this state, folks, it's spending because there is a federal judge that says certain programs have to be funded. Bruce Rauner has so many lawsuits up his ass that they can build a law office. He's got so many lawsuits. I mean, you know, it's a shame. Breast cancer screening for young women in general, is going to be non-existent because these guys can't get their acts together. This no budget thing literally is killing people. Seniors can't get their medicine or they can't get their meals. It's hurting seniors and children. Just about everybody is impacted on this. And once we do get a budget, a lot of those programs are going to be tough to start up again. Really rough. It's going to be a mess, folks. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. on the on the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm here, folks, just to try to make the world a better place. And this is the talk of our times. And we're just about out the air. Let's see if we can do this as we play something musical on the way out. All right, we're just about off the air, folks. Thanks for being with me. I hope you join me tomorrow when we will have something surprising. Bye-bye. Okay.
Good Hope of America. Yeah. Yeah.